Welcome, everybody. So glad you are here. Great to see you on this very rainy Sunday here in Milwaukee. Today we are going to consider what it means to live humbly and with grace. Feel free to light a candle in your space if it helps you make this dining room table or desk a little bit more sacred. All right, I shared my screen. Is that looking okay?
Yep, it just came through.
Great. This is a neat image I found. And one of our scriptures today is Jesus with the little children. And this is a depiction of that. So if you look closely, you see a bunch of kiddos at the feet of Jesus. All right, so if you would join me in our call to worship. And there we go. Is that better? I guess I didn't think this through. I'm kind of new to the Zoom worship leading. Feel free to leave your mics off and read the bold. And maybe someone could join me and read the, maybe one person could leave their mic on and read the bold so that it's not just me. I don't know. Any volunteers?
I'll volunteer to do that.
I heard Chris first, so let's go with Chris. Thank you. Join me as we read this together. Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called.
Be humble and gentle in every way. Be patient with each other and lovingly accept each other.
Through the peace that ties you together, do your best to maintain the unity that the Spirit gives.
There is one body and one Spirit. In the same way, we were called to share one hope.
There is one Lord, one faith,
one baptism,
one God and creator of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Thank you so much, Chris.
No problem.
Just 1 second here. Okay, we are going to move into a hymn. And today is my mom's birthday. She died a few years ago, almost five now, but she would have been 78 today. So in her honor, we're gonna sing one of her all-time favorite hymns, Be Thou My Vision. It's truly a gorgeous hymn that calls us to set the Lord before us in all areas of our life. The text specifically reminds us to seek humility, not to obsess over riches or empty praise. Our version today is from Michael Card, who's an amazing singer-songwriter. Matthew and I had the privilege of seeing him in concert at Bethel a couple decades ago. It was such a good concert. So enjoy and feel free to sing along or listen, either way. We're gonna go to Steve. Steve, remind me how to do that. Just, I stop sharing or?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, thanks.
Presence my light. and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty gain. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art.
If you would please join me in a time of confession. I will pray and then we'll have a period of silence for personal prayers before we respond together. And Lori, could you be my bold reader? Thank you. Let's pray. Friends in Christ, God knows our needs before we ask, and in our asking prepares us to receive the gift of grace. We open our lives to God's healing presence, seeking peace with God and reconciliation with our neighbors. We are mindful not only of personal evil, but also of our communal sins of family, class, race, and nation. We respectfully and humbly acknowledge that we gather on the traditional territory of Indigenous peoples. May we be mindful in a way that leads us to action regarding their relationship to this land that precedes ours, and to collectively engage in fundamental measures that advance justice for the Indigenous peoples of the region, past, present, and future. We confess to God whatever has wounded us or brought injury to others, that we may receive mercy and become for each other ministers of God's grace. Friends, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us.
Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, a new life has begun.
Know that you are forgiven and be at peace.
Amen.
Right. I will read Psalm 26. Declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart, for I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth. I do not spend time with liars or go along with hypocrites. I hate the gatherings of those who do evil, and I refuse to join in with the wicked. I wash my hands to declare my innocence. I come to your altar, O Lord, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of all your wonders. I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glorious presence dwells. Don't let me suffer the fate of sinners. Don't condemn me along with murderers. Their hands are dirty with evil schemes and they constantly take bribes. But I'm not like that. I live with integrity. So redeem me and show me mercy. Now I stand on solid ground and I will publicly praise the Lord. Matthew's going to help us out with this longer reading from Hebrews here.
Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, "What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet you made them only a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things." Now, when he says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. For he said to God, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people."
Thanks, Matthew. All right, children's time, and everyone just stay on. Anyone can participate, we will start out with Micah Mann reading to us from the book of the Gospel of Mark.
One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them.
Thanks, Micah. All right, so Jesus loved kids. Jesus often held kids up as examples of how adults should be. Jesus asked adults to change and become like little children. Be humble like children, he said. What does it mean to be humble? Feel free to unmute and share your ideas. Anyone young or old? What does it mean to be humble?
Open to the possibility that you could be wrong.
Nice one.
Not bragging or being boastful about something.
Yep.
And being a good sport.
Yep.
Feels a little bit like the opposite of the psalm.
I was just going to say that. Did the author of Psalm 26 sound very humble?
Oh, don't worry. I'm going to say that too in a minute.
Good. Yeah, it's good to hear those thoughts.
Humility. Maybe that you're not the best.
Oh, say it again, Lisa. Sorry.
Maybe that you're not the best at something.
Yep. Anyone else have thoughts about humility? What's it like? What's it mean to be humble? Humility means being willing to learn, being curious about others. Humble people listen because they don't know everything. They know they don't know everything. To be humble is always to remember that God is smarter, more powerful, knows more than us. So we see a lot of times in scripture that Jesus is an example of humility. He wasn't trying to impress people. From like king, but from hilltops and under trees. He listened to others, was curious, wanted to hear other people's stories. He even let himself be unfairly condemned and killed. So a song that reminds us to be like Jesus is Every Move I Make. It's one of my favorite songs from growing up, singing it at church and at camp. And I believe some of the kiddos from our church know it from Camp Friedenswald. So I thought we could teach it to others who might not know it. This version, you're gonna love it. It comes with motions. So kind of like a seventh inning stretch, even though we're not at that part of the service, feel free to hop up and move, a little mid worship service exercise. So here we go, Every Move I Make.
Yeah. Hey,
Awesome. I love it. Good times. Let's see. Now we are heading to a reflection. And thanks to Lauren for bringing us the word today. Turn it over to you, Lauren.
Great. Well, we already sort of got the intro part to my reflection out of the way because, yeah, Psalm 26. Not exactly what I would call a humble tone to be taking. So I guess we're really on a roll with scriptures that we don't exactly feel comfortable with. This is what, like the third week in a row where we've got scriptures where we're like, I don't know about that. And I kind of feel that way about Psalm 26, not necessarily because of the content of what it's saying, but because of the tone. Like, I just don't like that speaker. Seems really arrogant, looking down on people he perceives as being sinners while claiming perfection for himself. And I'm saying him because of, you know, sociocultural things, but women are not exempt from this feeling either. And I don't like it. It feels icky and wrong for that to be in the Bible. It very much goes against the whole Christian humility that especially Mennonites, I feel, like to emphasize, you know, service, self-denial, simple living. This does not vibe. Hebrews is nice then in a way because it kind of gives an alternative viewpoint. Rather than the speaker in Psalm 26 saying, I've been so righteous, I've done so well, I am deserving of your mercy and salvation. Hebrews says, nah, not us. We didn't do any of it. The reason we have salvation, the reason we have redemption is because Jesus did it perfectly and was kind enough to sort of take us along for the ride. And this viewpoint is a lot more common in my experience, at least, of the Mennonite church. This privileged position we have in the universal hierarchy, you know, above the angels, right hand of God, et cetera, is because of the actions and grace of Jesus. He is the one who is crowned with glory and honor, and he's the reason we have any standing whatsoever. Because we're not good. We're not righteous. We are not like the speaker in Psalm 26 claims to be, right? But Jesus is those things. And Jesus loves us, even though we are not good or righteous. And so we get all the benefits without a whole lot of the responsibility. But there are still things about this Hebrews passage to make us uncomfortable. For instance, this idea that we are not sanctified through our own merit, through anything we do, can be a hard thing for our pride to swallow. Admitting that we don't deserve good things is hard. And it doesn't necessarily have to be pride that makes this a difficult pill to swallow. It can be that good old-fashioned mental work ethic that says you're supposed to work hard at things and contribute and earn good things. It can be hard to admit that no matter how hard we work, there's some things we just can't earn, some things we need even, that we can't earn by being good, hardworking, self-denying Mennos. And this idea that there's nothing we can do can leave us feeling a bit at loose ends. It's hard to feel like you're not in control of any aspect of your life, but especially something as important as this. And some people are better with this than others. I am one of the on the worst end of the spectrum people when it comes to feeling like I do not have control over my own life. And sometimes we feel guilty. Even if we can accept the good thing, we feel bad that we haven't earned it. We realize we don't deserve it. And so we feel bad about accepting it. You know, our emphasis on service, we're all eager to wash someone else's feet, but start feeling real awkward when it's our turn to get our feet washed. So even though there are some things that we're very comfortable with in terms of the viewpoint of this Hebrews passage, there are still things here to be uncomfortable with, to make us feel kind of off balance, maybe a little itchy, a little twitchy. Children, on the other hand, do not have these hangups. Children At least the young ones, they learn it as they get older. But the little ones are so utterly lacking in self-awareness and self-consciousness that the idea of feeling ashamed about accepting a good thing that's offered to them might as well exist in another dimension. Children have no problem being like, ooh, nice thing. Yes, please. I want that. Reminding them to say thank you might be an effort, but you don't usually have to persuade them very hard to take the good thing and be happy about it. There's no pride in them telling them that salvation is the kind of thing they're capable of earning. They're used to relying on the kindness and grace of people more powerful than them, AKA adults, to provide for them. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at in Mark when he says we need to receive the kingdom of God as a little child. I don't think he's talking about an age thing. We don't have to baptize infants so that they won't go to hell if they die. But we do have to strive to hang on to something that was very normal to us at that part of life, for that humility, that acceptance that we can't do it all ourselves, and we need to rely on those bigger and stronger and smarter than us to provide. It's just that as an adult, we realize that person is God rather than mom and dad. And it sounds so easy, doesn't it? Like so many of the things we're commanded to do as Christians, it sounds so simple when it's put down there all nice and neat on paper. And hey, if it is easy for you, congrats. Enjoy it, but be humble. But I'll tell you this, this is not easy for me. In fact, right now it's especially not easy because I'm finding, as much as I don't like to admit it, I'm resonating a lot with that speaker in Psalm 26 right now. And maybe that's why I dislike him so much. Maybe that's why his tone bugs me so much, because I see things I don't necessarily like about myself in it. I had a cousin growing up that I did not like and did not get along with. And I remember one time when I was complaining about him, my mother, and the manner of mothers telling you things you really don't want to hear, said, you know, these things you're complaining about, these are things that could describe you. And I said, Mom, let me complain. But you know, as moms often are, she was right. The qualities I was complaining about in this cousin of mine were qualities I have on numerous occasions been accused of possessing myself. And so maybe the reason I don't like Psalm 26's speaker so much is because right now I see a lot of that sort of self-righteousness and disdain for those viewed as lesser in myself around this whole COVID thing. Because I am fed up and out of patience with COVID deniers, with people who are vaccine resistant or vaccine hesitant. I'm out of patience and I'm out of grace. And that's not a good place to be in. Thankfully, there's someone who is never out of grace, and that is God. Less thankfully, we have to be open to being wrong and to admitting that we are often as wrong as the people we're mad at before we can accept that grace. So I'm working on it. And I hope if you are in a similar place, you are too. That's all from me.
All right. Thank you so much, Lauren. I turned my video off, but I was like nodding. So really good words. As we think about, the words we just heard, let's move into a time of response. This is a hymn from Voices Together that was new to me. Might be new to some of you guys. It's number 39, As We Rise, O God, to Meet You. How beautiful is that? And the words are stellar. So let's incorporate that one from here on out. All right. You would join me in a time of prayer. Generous God, you gave us life, and now we give our lives back to you. We present ourselves, our work, and our play, our joys and our sorrows, our thoughts and actions, our gifts and our resources. God, we lift up to you other joys and concerns that are in our hearts. Risen Christ, you breathe your Holy Spirit on us and you tell us, peace be yours. Opening our peace, letting it soften the harsh and rocky ground of our hearts, means preparing ourselves to be bearers of reconciliation wherever you place us. And God, you've placed us here, right here in these neighborhoods, in this city, during this time of COVID and in our work. And you've placed us here. May we be led by your Spirit to humbly bring compassion, understanding, light, and peace to all whom we encounter in the days and weeks to come. Amen. And now for our sending. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your Spirit be our goal and our strength now and always. Go in peace and or stay in peace, because we have some announcements.